All right, well, this morning we're going to do a Sunday school lesson, and I have entitled it The Importance of Bible Doctrine. And what I want us to do this morning is take a step back. Why do we come to Sunday school? Just curious, how many of you were raised in church and have been going to Sunday school since you were a child? Would you raise your hand? That's many of us in here. Some of you came to Christ later in life, and we rejoice in that testimony, and we want you to know we're glad you're here today. Every once in a while, when it's time to get up for Sunday school on a Sunday morning, you might ask yourself, after all these years, why am I still going to Sunday school? Well, the purpose of Sunday school is twofold, whether you are a kid in the nursery or you are attending the auditorium class. The purpose is twofold. Number one, we want to reach lost people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every Sunday school class ought to have an evangelistic thrust. The purpose of this Sunday school class is so that you can reach people in your life stage with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you ought to be telling people, I go to a great Sunday school class. Our teacher is engaging. The people in my class are like family. And if you're looking for strong Bible teaching in a community where you belong, you ought to come to the auditorium Sunday school class at Worth Baptist Church. I mean, the first purpose of everything we do as a church is to reach lost people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the purpose of the church. So it stands to reason that would be the purpose of the Sunday school class. So purpose number one is to reach. But purpose number two is to teach. The Sunday school class is an opportunity for us to take God's word and teach it in a way that is relatable to where you are in your life stage. And what we want to do in the Sunday school hour, and of course we're doing this in our worship services, but what we want to do in a really targeted way in the Sunday school hour is we want to teach the key doctrines of God's word so you can be mature, strong, Bible-believing Christians. You know, the Bible says that the senior citizens in the church, and that's many of you in this room, that the senior citizens in the church are to be sound in faith. Now, what does that mean? Well, when he's talking about faith there, he's talking about doctrine, the truths that make up the Christian faith. And every senior citizen in our church ought to be in the place of their life where they are sound and stable in the key doctrines of the faith. You not only know what you believe, but you can defend those beliefs from the Bible, and you are teaching the younger people in our church to believe those things too. You know, Charles Spurgeon was one of the great pastors who ever preached God's word. He's been called the Prince of Preachers. And as he got later on in his life, he said something that I think is really profound. He said, no matter how old you are, you never exhaust the Bible. Isn't that true? He said it only widens and deepens as the years go by. And I'm going to tell you something. We ought to be just as hungry for God's word and the doctrines of God's word today as we were 50 years ago when we started in the Sunday school with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and all those great Bible stories. I'm going to tell you something. What we believe matters. And how we defend what we believe matters. And how we pass it on to the next generation matters. So I want to spend a few moments this morning just reminding you about the importance of Bible doctrine. Let's ask this question first of all. Why is it important to study Bible doctrine? Why is it important to study Bible doctrine? Well, number one, because we believe doctrine whether we recognize it or not. Several years ago when my son Will was very young, we were riding in the car. He was, I think, a toddler at this time. And he was fascinated by the heavy machinery on construction sites like most little boys are. And he saw a backhoe one day, and when he was young, he would call a backhoe a digger. He said, Dad, look at that digger. It's so big. And then he asked, did God make that digger, Daddy? What was Will doing? Even as a toddler, he was mulling over in his little mind the doctrine of creation. And the truth of the matter is that all of us have beliefs about God. All of us are doing Bible doctrine. All of us are doing theology, whether we recognize it or not. Now, what is doctrine? The word doctrine simply means a body of truth. And by the way, we find the body of truth that we believe in this book we call the Bible. Amen? What about theology? Some of us think that that's a stuffy word only used for professors. Well, theology comes from two Greek words, theos, which means God, and logos, which just means talk. So what is theology? It's God talk. The truth of the matter is that we all have a body of truth that we're using to shape the way that we view the world and the way that we act in the world. And that all of us, whether we recognize it or not, are talking about God. The atheist has a God talk, doesn't he? The agnostic has a God talk. Muslims and Hindus and Catholics have God talk. So we want to make sure that our body of truth is shaped by the Bible and that we're talking about God in ways that are actually true. You know, when you make the statement, Jesus is Lord, you're making a doctrinal statement. Do you understand that? How many of you, and say amen if you believe it, how many of you would say Jesus is Lord today? Now, I know that seems like a very simple statement, but there's actually a lot of Bible doctrine packed in those three words. First of all, you're saying you believe the doctrine of the Trinity. There is one God who eternally exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if you believe that Jesus is God, that really narrows you down in the world. Do you understand that? If you believe that there is one God who exists in three persons and that Jesus is actually God, you're one of just a few people in the world who actually believes that doctrine. You believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. You also believe in the doctrine of the incarnation, that God the Son became a man. You also believe in the doctrine of the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. You believe in the doctrine of the resurrection. You believe in the doctrine of the ascension. You believe in the doctrine of the second coming. You believe that in the doctrine of God's sovereignty. So just a very short statement, Jesus is Lord, is actually packed with a lot of doctrine and theology. Now the point is simple, and I may be overstating it, but we all believe doctrine. We all talk about doctrine, whether we recognize it or not. That's why Bible doctrine is important. Secondly, Bible doctrine enables us to rightly know, understand, and love God. Bible doctrine enables us to rightly know, understand, and love God. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Rome. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. What Paul is talking about in those verses is revelation. He's reminding us of the fact that we could not know God unless he made himself known to us. Now, it's true that there are certain things we can know about God through creation. We can look around and see that there is a God. There are certain things we can know about God through conscience, and Paul talks about both in Romans 1 and 2. When it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we could not know God in a real and specific way unless God had revealed himself to us. We could have never figured that truth out on our own just by looking at the world or looking inside. God had to reveal himself to us. This is what the Bible, or what we would now call specific revelation. How has God revealed himself in a specific way? He's revealed himself through his word. The Bible is the revelation of God to mankind. And folks, that's a wonderful truth. There is a God. He wants you to know him. He wrote a book so you could know him. That's exactly what Paul talks about in Romans 16. He says the knowledge of God was a mystery. A sacred secret. You couldn't have figured it out on your own. But God has made it known to you by revelation through the scriptures of the prophets, so that this commandment might be made known unto all people and they might put their faith and trust in Christ. So God has revealed truth about himself in the pages of the Bible so we can know him and we can love him. And we would never be able to rightly know God, rightly love God, or come into a relationship with God without this book. You do understand that, right? It's absolutely essential. That's why you've got to study it as an individual. That's why we have to often teach it as a church. So Bible doctrine enables us to rightly know, understand, and love God. And here's another reason you ought to study. We are commanded to study Bible doctrine. Paul told his young son in the faith, Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Folks, God wrote a book and he commands us to study it. And one day, according to Paul, we're going to stand before the Lord either approved or ashamed based on what we did with this book. If we will rightly divide it, we will be approved before God. But if we do not rightly divide the word of God, we will be ashamed before God. And if we believe wrong things about God, that wrong belief will turn into wrong behavior. You know why so many Christians do the wrong things? Because they believe the wrong things about God because they haven't studied their Bible. What we believe always determines how we behave. So there are massive implications for your practical life if you fail to study the doctrines of God's word. Number four, we should study Bible doctrine because the church is responsible to contend for the faith. God has delivered the faith to us and we're responsible to contend for it or defend it. Jude said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Listen, folks, if we fail to defend the faith at Worth Baptist Church, doctrinal error and heresy will creep in. There are two ways Satan attacks a local church. The first is persecution, attack from outside the church. The second is infiltration, attack from inside the church. And if you'll study church history, you'll find out that the second of those attacks has been far more successful for the devil than the first of those attacks. As mature Christians in a church, we have to constantly be on guard and watch the doctrine of the church and defend the truths of God's word. It's our job as mature believers to study the truth, to know the truth, to defend the truth, and to pass on the truth to the next generation just like it was passed on to us. Did you see what Jude said? There has been one faith delivered to the saints. You understand that what was true about the Christian faith 2,000 years ago is true today. The major truths of God's word do not change. I don't care how much the culture changes. I don't care how much the country changes. The major truths of God's word do not change. If it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it isn't new. So it's our responsibility to know and defend the truth of God's word so we can pass it on to the next generation like it was given to us. Here's another reason. Doctrine summarizes and synthesizes the teachings of the Bible. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans 15:4. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." And Paul there was talking about the Old Testament. We're responsible to learn and understand the truths of the Bible. And God has provided the scriptures so that through them we might have patience, comfort, and hope. I think we all understand that we need to understand as New Testament believers the gospel records and the epistles to the church. And we do need to focus on the New Testament. Let me tell you this, we also need to focus on the Old Testament. There's a teacher in Atlanta who says the church needs to unhitch from the Old Testament. And that's because he wants to believe in theistic evolution. And he's embarrassed about what the Bible has to teach about marriage and sexuality. Listen, we should never unhitch from the Old Testament. There is nothing in the Old Testament that contradicts anything in the New Testament. It is all God's word. So we need to learn about both testaments. We need to know about the relationship between the two. Studying a specific Bible doctrine, like let's say the doctrine of salvation or the doctrine of Christ, allows us to study all the biblical content about that particular thing and formulate our beliefs accordingly. Number six, studying Bible doctrine helps me identify the difference between sound doctrine and false doctrine. Listen to 1 John 4:1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. John is warning us about false doctrine and false prophets. In his day, he was warning them about Gnosticism, a belief that said Jesus did not actually come in the flesh, that he was a lesser God. Listen to what John said in 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard and seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. John says he was not a lesser God and he did come in the flesh. We actually touched him with our own hands. And he's telling this church that the best way to be able to spot a lie is to know the truth so thoroughly you can't be fooled. I know I've used this illustration before, but when I was a very young child, this was before I discovered America. I want to make sure I tell the story right. Before I discovered America, my mom worked as a teller in a bank there in West Texas. And she said that people tried to come in with counterfeit bills all the time. She said it happened at least once a week. Can you believe that? I don't know if any of you have been tellers before and had that particular thing happen to you. But my mom told me that the bank, as they were training her how to spot a counterfeit, they didn't spend a lot of time talking about how to recognize the various forms of counterfeit money that would come in, because they were always changing and there was always a new trick. They would tell their tellers that the way to know the difference between the counterfeit and the real thing is to know the real thing so well that you can't be fooled. And they taught the tellers how to recognize certain characteristics of a $100 bill, things that the average person, an average Joe, and maybe even a counterfeiter couldn't recognize, to look for those things so they could spot the difference between what was true and what was false. I'm going to tell you, there seems to be a new false doctrine every time it comes out. All right, every time a week goes by. And it might be the woke gospel. It might be the prosperity gospel. It might be the social justice gospel. And tomorrow, there's going to be a new gospel, okay? How are you able to defend the truth against all of these lies that come along? Well, the way you do it is you know what God's word says so you can't be fooled. The Bible says that we are not to be carried about with every new doctrine that comes down the pike. We shouldn't be fooled by all the drivel that hits the bestseller shop at the Christian bookstore. We should be sound in faith and know God's word and know where we stand, so when false doctrine comes along, we're not swept away by it, and our children and our grandchildren aren't either. So why should we study Bible doctrine? There are a lot of reasons to do it. Well, let's ask this question. We're not going to get to all of this today, so here at the end, I'll give you the answer to the blanks of what we didn't get to, and you can study it out for yourself, all right? Let's ask this question. Can I understand Bible doctrine? Can the average Christian who's never been to seminary, who doesn't have any background in Greek or Hebrew, actually understand the key teaching of God's word? Sometimes we'll hear preachers use $4 theology words like soteriology or transubstantiation or even words like premillennial, propitiation, sanctification. And maybe if you're a newer believer and you haven't heard those words before, you come away, if there was no explanation of those terms, thinking the average person in the pew really can't understand the Bible. I want you to know something. You can understand God's word. You can understand Bible doctrine. And not only can you understand it, you must understand it. Let me give you three reasons why the average Christian in our churches today really can't understand what God's word teaches. Number one, God's word was inspired with the regular believer in mind. Did you know that when God inspired the Bible, he wasn't thinking about someone like me with a seminary education? He was thinking about little boys and girls in Sunday school. He was thinking about laymen in the church. He was thinking about grandmas and grandpas. He was thinking about you when he inspired the scripture. Listen to what it said in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul told Timothy, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." You got this when you were a kid, Timothy, and you understood it. "From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Then he says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine." Notice, number one, doctrine. "For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God," and that word is not specific, it would also refer to the woman of God, "may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So this is a familiar passage. I won't take a long time to unpack it. You know it. But we know that all scripture was breathed out by God. It was recorded by men, but it was inspired by God. Timothy knew the scriptures from the time he was a child. If you can learn the Bible as a boy or girl, it must not be overly complicated. If a child can understand them, a senior citizen certainly can understand them. Paul tells us here that scripture is profitable for doctrine, for teaching us. The first profit that comes to us through the inspired word of God is that it gives us a body of truth that we call doctrine. And the profit of doctrine is that as I read it, I will understand it. And I will become mature, thoroughly furnished, properly equipped to do everything God has called me to do. So look, if doctrine equips me to do what God has called me to do, then if I neglect Bible doctrine, I will not be equipped to do what God has called me to do. Doesn't that stand to reason? Isn't that the logical implication of 2 Timothy chapter 3? And listen, if God wants you to do something for him, I promise you where he calls, he enables and he equips, and he will equip you to do what he has called you to do as you read and study this book. You can't understand it. Secondly, the word of God is sufficient to teach us Bible doctrine. This passage not only teaches the inspiration of scriptures, it teaches the sufficiency of scriptures. It says it equips us for all good works. There is not a good work you won't be able to do if all you have is the Bible. Let me put that in the positive. If you have the Bible, you can do everything God wants you to do. If you have the Bible, you have all you need to become who God wants you to be. There's a great passage there in 2 Timothy where it says, through the promises of God's word, he has provided for us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Don't let any church tell you you need a pope. Don't let any church tell you you need a priest. Yes, we need people to guide us in God's word and to teach God's word to us. But I tell you, if you have the Bible and the Holy Spirit of God, you have all you need to be the Christian that God has called you to be. Number three, God's word is clear enough for the regular believer to understand it. And we'll stop on this point. Listen to Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Listen to what Moses said to the children of Israel. These were relatively uneducated people who were in the wilderness. He said, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven, or bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word of God is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Now, Psalm 19 says even simple people can understand the scriptures. And by the way, that's what makes a simple person wise. Learning how to know and do what's written in the scriptures. And then he says, the word of God is not far off that you can't attain to it. It's very near to you. You can know it. You can understand it. It was written with you in mind. What does a person need to understand and do God's word? A translation of the Bible in their language. That's why the work of Bible translation is very important. And by the way, we have an incredibly accurate translation of the scriptures and the translation we use here at Worth Baptist Church in the King James Version. Number two, you need the Holy Spirit. Spiritual truth is spiritually discerned. And if you're an unbeliever trying to understand God's word, you won't be able to make heads or tails of it. You need the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, you need a willingness to obey the truth. Jesus said, you obey the truth and you will know of the doctrine. And sometimes we don't understand the truth because we don't obey the truth we already understand. And if you want to know more of God's truth, obey the truth you know. And then number four, we need a willingness to work hard and study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. All right, the last question, and I'm just going to give you the blanks because we have folks who are ready to come in. What are the benefits of studying Bible doctrine? If you'll really commit yourself to studying God's word and understanding it, what benefits will come to your life because of that? Well, number one, sound doctrine leads to stability and security. Stability and security. And in these chaotic, crazy times in which we live, who couldn't use a little more stability and security. Number two, sound doctrine leads to sound living. Number three, sound doctrine leads to unity. I'm going to tell you something. The most unified churches are the churches that gather around a body of truth. Doctrine does not divide. It's our doctrine that unites us as Bible-believing Christians. Number four, sound doctrine leads to a faithful witness. Once you know the truth, you're responsible to do something with it. And the better you know the truth, the better you're able to defend the truth in the culture. Number five, sound doctrine leads to worship. What's the point of studying God's word? So that we might know and love and worship God in a greater way. Let me leave you with one quote and we're going to pray. Here's what one theologian said. Theology is for doxology. What's doxology? It's for worship. Theology is for doxology and devotion. That is the praise of God and the practice of godliness. It should therefore be presented in a way that brings awareness of the divine presence. Theology is at its healthiest when it is consciously under the eye of the God of whom it speaks and when it is singing to God's glory. Theology is for doxology. Well, those are the reasons why in your personal life you should study God's word and study it deeply and know the key doctrines of the Bible. And that's why 50 or 60 years later, we are still coming to Sunday school to learn the key doctrines of God's faith, because we never exhaust the Bible. It only deepens and widens as the years go by. And all God's people said, let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for the tremendous privilege we have to study your word. And I know the folks in this class, they love your word. They love to study it and learn it. They don't think that because they've reached a certain age that they have arrived. All of us know that we should keep pressing for the mark of the high prize of our calling of God in Christ Jesus. So help us, Lord, to be just as hungry for the truth as we were the day that we were saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.